This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Genesis with chapters 41 and 42, picking up with Fixed by God, the exaltation of Joseph, Joseph vindicated, they meet again, and cat and mouse. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Forever.
will come again in glory.
A reading from Exodus chapter 33. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Lord, your word is firmly set in the heaven.
Lord, I have a meditation on your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. The Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I station on your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. I think that most of us take our eyesight for granted. That is, until we don't have it anymore. For most of us, we go to the eye doctor every year, and we sit in the chair, we cover one eye, and we read the chart. We cover the other eye, and we read the chart, and the doctor types some notes in his computer. If you're a diabetic like me, you have to have your eyes dilated, and then that doctor shines that ridiculously bright light into your eyes that are now dilated, and they're sensitive, but he still shines that unnecessarily bright light into your eyes, and you look up, and you look down, and he types a few more notes in his computer. And when you're done, you go out, and you pick out your new frames, or if you're like me, you take your prescription for your contact lenses, and you go and you order them. It's pretty standard stuff for most of us. I know of at least one person that exams don't go that way. For this person, they wonder if they're still going to be able to see at all. They have to go to a specialist. Can't go to an optometrist. They have to go to an ophthalmologist because their sight's so bad. And it's getting worse. They don't drive anymore because they can't see well enough. They can't stand to be around bright lights. In fact, most days, this person has to wear sunglasses inside because they're so sensitive to light. In a few years, this person is only going to be able to see shapes and movement. Won't be able to read, won't be able to write. It's not a day this person is looking forward to, but they know that it's coming. It's going to be a struggle. But with the Lord at this person's side, they know that they're going to make it through. And that brings me to Exodus for this morning. Moses understands something most people forget. Without God, we're nothing. Moses knew his limitations as a leader. He knew the only reason that he had been successful in getting the Israelites out of Egypt was because God had been with him. How else would Moses have gotten the people across the Red Sea before the Egyptians caught up to them and killed them or forced them back into bondage? But God was with them. He threw the Egyptians into the sea, saw his people across. Better to be with him than without him. But you know, if I'm being honest, I don't always think that way. There are times that I look around and I think, I wish I had that guy's money. I wish that I had that guy's house. I wish that I drove that car. There's a part of me that thinks if I could just win the lottery, there would be a lot that I could do with $1 billion. That's billion with a B, because that's what the Mega Millions is up to now. $1 billion. I could pay off my credit cards. I could pay off my student loans. I could pay off my cars. I might even give a huge chunk here to the seminary. I'd give to my church. Life would be glorious. All I have to do is hit the lottery. I have even convinced myself that I wouldn't retire. I'd still do pulpit supply. I would still preach every week. I wouldn't buy that private island that I've had my eye on. You know, the one that's only accessible by boat or plane. I wouldn't shut myself off from the world. God will still be a huge part of what I do. If I had all these earthly blessings, well, life would be, well, it'd be just so much better. And then I read these words from Exodus, and I realize this line of thinking has taken my eyes off of what really matters. I've become blind to what I really should be seeing. I've been a fool chasing after a fun life instead of focusing on what matters. Our Lord says to Moses, and thereby he's also saying to us this morning, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. These words remind me a life with God is so much better than a life without him. These words remind me that as I walk through this veil of tears, God is with me. One day I'll arrive in that room in his house he has prepared for me. Being with him in paradise is so much better than being in any so-called paradise here on earth. But then we think, you know, if I could only see God more clearly, it would be so much easier to follow him. I mean, if I could just see him, if he would just show himself to me, I wouldn't be tempted to chase after the things of this world. If he would just show himself, we wouldn't be chasing after the things that people think are truly important. If we could see God as clearly as we see that eye chart in the doctor's office, we'd be better able to handle the problems we encounter. But the truth is, we do see God clearly. We saw him here this morning as these words of Moses were read. Listen to how Moses drove home this truth. He says, "If I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight." And with these words of Moses, Moses is approaching God, but he's not asking for riches. He's not asking for power. He's asking for God to teach him his ways so he would continue to find favor. We do well to follow Moses' example here. That's because the better we know God, the better we'll see how he does richly, daily provide for all your needs. We'll also see how we don't need to win the lottery to get rid of all of these daily worries. God has already said that he will give you daily bread. If we want to become more confident, more secure, we don't need to keep dreaming of striking it rich. We just need to open our ears to God's word. That which Moses urges us to do. And God is so overjoyed at Moses' request. He says, "This very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." And wouldn't it be great to hear God say that to each of us? He is pleased with us. He knows us by name. But God is pleased with you for the sake of Christ. He knows you by name, because he called you by name at your baptism. Therefore, like Moses, we can boldly say, "Show me your glory." And when I read that this morning I'm giving someone a tour of my house, I thought about this. If I'm giving someone a tour of my house, I don't normally show them my bedroom, mostly because I probably haven't made my bed yet, but I don't do it because that's my private space. My children don't even go into my bedroom unless they have a specific reason or have asked permission. I don't go into their room. That's their private space. It would be audacious for a visitor to even ask me to see my bedroom. So when Moses says, "Show me your glory," doesn't that come off as being a bit rude? It's awful bold, isn't it? But how does God handle this request? Like he handles every other bold request from his children, he offers Moses something better than what he'd asked for. His alternate plan is, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see." Moses wanted to see God more clearly, and God wasn't going to deny this request. But he'd do it in a way that was best for Moses. God would pass in front of Moses, but Moses wouldn't see a thing except for God's back as he passed by. Because if God hadn't done this, sinful Moses would have been destroyed. But Moses would come to see God more clearly through this encounter. And he would do so by opening his ears to what God proclaimed. And it's the same for us. If we want to know what God is like, we stop asking for visions. We stop asking for miracles. We stop asking to win the lottery. Instead, we open our ears to the truth. He's given you his word. From Scripture, we learn about God's righteousness. Although the world says there is no right or wrong, God disagrees. His word tells us of his hatred for sin. It tells us what the cost of sin is. We also know that his son paid that price for you. His son, though innocent, was declared guilty for you. He took the punishment of your sin, the sin of the whole world, and it was nailed to the cross with him. Jesus is like that hand of God that shielded Moses from God's holiness as he passed by. Jesus shields you from God's wrath so that you are not destroyed by sin. Jesus has done this for you, so instead of death, you receive the promised everlasting life. Sure, we would love to see God in all his glory, but in our sinful state, we wouldn't be able to handle it. But one day, we'll see God. You will see him face to face. But until then, we'll be eager to look at God and learn about him by opening our ears to his word, just as Moses did. We always need to remember God says to us, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. His holy word is his presence, and in it you will find rest. And after all, it's better to be with him than without him. In his name, the name above all names, the only name by which we are saved. Amen. Amen.
hear my prayer. Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace to lay hold of your promises and live forever in your presence through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious Father, you kept Abraham and Sarah in safety throughout the days of their pilgrimage. You led the children of Israel through the midst of the sea, and by a star you led the wise men to the infant Jesus. Protect and guide all of your servants now as they set out to travel, both for rest and leisure, and for study and enrichment, especially those traveling to Romania. Make our ways safe and our homecomings joyful, and bring us at last to our heavenly home, where you dwell with your Son in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.